America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We go around the NFL at 5:30. Some thoughts from the rest of the games. How'd we do on our picks? Spoiler alert, not great this week. It's a bit of a significant yikes, bro. But we have 30 minutes to not think about that. And we'll spend a good chunk of them with our pal Michael Phillips. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Mondays mean Michael Phillips, 910 The Fan, joins us, of course, down in Richmond, longtime beat reporter who covered the team. Now he's just a talking head like me, so Monday we get together, the former reporters turn talking heads club, and we have some fun on the radio. Michael, hello, sir.
We'll get Dick Schaap to moderate the former sports reporters, we'll call it. We'll air it Sunday morning, so it'll be a good time for everybody. Yeah. I was at a game this weekend,
Tell me more.
Went down to Miami for Virginia Tech against Miami, which I don't know if you saw, had an absolutely bananas ending.
I heard about that. Here's why I cared about that game, Michael, because we had it on our air, and that cut our show in half on Friday, which I will not say whether I enjoyed or not. I would just say on a Friday, I was done an hour and a half sooner than I usually was, and then I was with my cousin, who is a University of Miami alum, Saturday, and he was telling me about the game, and I was like, oh, that sounds insane. All I know is when the pregame started.
You know, I always say, I enjoy doing the show, but it doesn't bother me when I get paid to not do the show. I think getting paid not to work is the American dream.
That, I don't know if that's uniquely American, frankly, but it certainly it certainly made my Friday nice and easy. However, Michael, then we get to Sunday, and lo and behold, Commanders put in some work. That's for sure.
Yeah,
see what
did
there? See? You still got it.
Yeah, they did.
I'll ask you this way. What matters to you more, the 42 or the 14?
Well, I think the 42 excites me more, just because I'm so excited about Jaden Daniels. Like, he's so good, and, we got all this time here to get into it, but briefly, he is not being babied as much as I think maybe it was made out to be in the lead up to the Cincy game. He was making second read, third reads. He was making progressions. I loved the interception, Craig, because on the interception, I don't think he made a bad decision. I just think he made a bad throw. And I think if you look at, if you're an opposing team and you're watching the tape, all right, kid threw an interception. What are we going to learn from this? How are we going to get after him? I don't think there's anything there that you're like, this is how he's beatable. Pray on the sideline that he throws it above the receiver's head. I'm not sure that's a viable long-term strategy. I don't want to discount the 14. The 14 tells me they could make the playoffs this year. Like, I think it's time to make that as a definitive statement. I resisted it last week. But if the pass rush plays like that and can rattle quarterbacks like that, they'll go to 4-1 this week, and you have to treat them as a credible playoff contender. For long term, it's the 42. We've been playing this game for 20 years, Craig, and I'm willing to get hurt again. I'm willing to do it. I think he might be the one.
I hear you. I hear you. And I was having this conversation earlier today with Natalie Spalla of ABC7 up here in a segment that folks can watch on Sports Talk on Wednesday night. But as Nat was asking me a question that I'm now going to flip on you, Michael, that goes to the heart of this conversation about Jaden and this offense, which she goes like, what's the concern? Like, how do they continue this? And I was like, well, concern-wise, I don't really know, because it's not even like this is the same offense every week. They're just putting up the same production, but their ability to shape-shift and do a bunch of different stuff left me, like, I'm sure that there's a defensive coordinator out there that's going to present them a problem they don't solve this year, because they're not going to score 40 every single week or 38, 35 yeah. plus every single week. I just currently can't identify what that thing is outside of them not executing as well as they have.
Yeah, you know, they'll get it figured out, but right now, it's always easier for the other team when somebody else figures it out, right? And, I mean, the football's littered with examples of somebody being exposed and then going on a 5-6-game losing streak just because everybody else does it. You grab the tape, rip the schemes, and go. That doesn't exist yet, so that's why we live in a particularly exciting time here. I think that, you know, you talk about watching film and watching the plays. I was excited to get into it this week. Mike Shanahan, when he had it rolling in 2012, you know, I could draw it out for you why it worked. And, you know, it's pretty simple. You saw the same concepts every week generally. Jay Gruden was always fun to watch film on, because even when that team stunk, you'd turn on the film and you say, ah, I see what he was doing here. If they had good players, they might have been able to achieve the things Jay wanted to achieve. You know, he could draw a play on a napkin and it'd work. Then the guys on the field would find a way to botch it. But generally speaking, he could draw a play on a napkin and it worked. This is, I mean, I don't know what Cliff Kingsbury was doing in Thailand, but whatever was going on in his head, he was cooking some stuff up. And I'm almost, it's kind of silly to talk about whether it's sustainable or not sustainable. Like, it's probably not sustainable to throw brand new football concepts at an opponent every week for 17 weeks for years on end. But I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts.
Right, but like, they can throw something this week and then something else next week and come back to A the week after that. And like, if you're a defensive coordinator prepping, you don't know which one's coming. And that's like that's the thing I think I appreciate so much about the NFL now. And I think Logan has taught me this more than anyone else that I've worked with, of like, so much of football, and this is why the preseason is nonsense. So much of football is about scouting. Do we know what the other team is doing? Do we have answers? And can we even take it to the next level of use what they're trying to do against them, which teams have done to Washington defensively so far this year? For instance, they want to be really aggressive up front. So let's let them run by us and hit them with screens and traps and draws and get enormous gains in the run game, because they just run themselves out of plays. And Washington did a better job on that. Again, we'll circle back to it in a moment. But offensively, if you don't know whether it's going to be a screen-heavy game, a deep shot-heavy game, are they going to run a ton of RPO? Is Brian Robinson going to be the featured guy? Is Eckler going to be the featured guy when he gets back? Like, it's just, you're just stuck in hell, Michael, if you're a defensive coordinator. And like, at least if you're Cleveland, you have Myles Garrett who can muck stuff up. But on the average week in, week out, like, I don't know what you prepare for this team, or like what the right formula is to stop them until they start slowing on the execution front.
This last 4 minutes is a Cliff Kingsbury compliment, obviously, and it shouldn't be taken any other way. But this is really a Jaden Daniels compliment, because you can have the best offensive schemes in the world, but if the quarterback can't process them and run them, it doesn't matter. This kid has done everything they've asked him to do, and he's done it really well at a really high level. And not that there are quarterbacks who can do different game plans every week and get ready, but there aren't 32 of them. He's in a special club here in terms of being able to process, being able to deliver on what's being asked of him every week, and to do it at a ridiculously high level in a situation in Cincy where there was literally no margin for error. Any punt would have torpedoed the game, and he delivered. And then in Arizona, where I know what the final score says, but it was in doubt until 35-14 there at the start of the fourth quarter. It could have swung the other way. He's walking that tightrope, and he's doing it masterfully.
Michael Phillips hosts MP on the Mic, 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan, which you can, of course, listen to on the free Odyssey app or on your radio, also at 105.1 FM if you are driving through down in Richmond. The other part of the offense that I think deserves a shout-out, Michael, that I haven't actually talked about yet today and probably haven't talked about as much this season is the offensive line. And to say this offensive line was much maligned coming into the season is like, I don't know, saying like a Carolina Reaper's a hot pepper. Like, you kind of undersold the severity here. This offensive line was just, everyone thought they sucked. Michael, newsflash, they don't suck. Where does the credit go for that, in your opinion?
Now I'm ready to credit Cliff Kingsbury. Now I'm ready to say, this guy is doing things up front. The pulling, just the different schemes and looks. And I mean, the way they run the ball is different and is not consistent in the best, most complimentary way. You don't know if you're lining up over a guy, if that's the guy you're going to end up blocking or not. And I think Brandon Coleman has come along quickly. You mentioned the preseason probably isn't good for much. It's good for rookies acclimating to the NFL, and he didn't get it, and he didn't get a training camp. And I think we saw a lot of on-the-job training over the first 3 weeks. That's really paid off here in week four. And I think you're seeing what I would say, across the board and lumping in the defense, saw a lot more cohesion in this game. I saw a lot more, it's not one guy making a play, but it's a lot more, a lot of guys making a play together. And that's going to make them even more dangerous because at the risk of maligning them, which is apparently not allowed at the moment, I don't know that this is the most athletic bunch in the world. But I think when you have a unit that plays together, they can do some pretty good things.
So I will nitpick your description ever so slightly, not to defend their honor, just to, I think, point of clarification. I do think they're a really athletic group. And, like, they've used that athleticism to their advantage, right? I don't think they're the most skilled, like, best offensive linemen in the league collectively, right?
There you go.
But they are, like, Wiley will get out in space and smack somebody. You know, Cosby can move. Coleman can move. Like, Biotish, they get him out in space as a lead blocker, and he's punishing people. And so to use them versus last year where they put Andrew Wiley in a phone booth and asked him to pass block 30 times a game, and you're like, he's not going to be that great at that. He'll be maybe average, below average, but if you don't ask him to do it 30 times, it won't hurt you that much. And I think that, along with, obviously, circle back to Jaden, his process and getting the ball out, like, that is a huge deal. But even yesterday, Michael, I think that's the thing that kind of blew me away offensively. I haven't watched the offensive tape back in full yet, but the thing that really stuck out to me watching the game is we can talk about Jaden's patience in the pocket, but you don't get the luxury of having patience in the pocket if dudes are trying to kill you. And he had clean pockets to work from all day yesterday. So clearly, while they brought this group along and have deployed all the schematic stuff you just talked about, they also are playing better. And it's amazing how those things seem to, go together.
Yeah, I'll give you the yes and, right? That's the improv move here. Yes, and, you're right. Yes, and B-Rob's a beast, man. When B-Rob sets the tone with a five-yard run every time, that makes life easier for everybody. When McNichols is averaging 8 yards a carry, that makes life easier for everybody. When Brian Robinson lowers his shoulder and is trucking dudes every time he gets hit, that stuff adds up. And I think that he deserves a lot of credit as well for softening defenses over the course of games because he's been a grown man out there running the football.
Yeah, I love Schlereth during the game yesterday. He's like, you know why you hit that guy? Because he might have to cover the next snap, and he's not going to have to feel as good. And I was like, yeah. Also, you get extra yards. And, but you're right, Mark. That probably sucks. That probably sucks when you have to go chase Terry McLaurin around after Brian Robinson tried to run through your chest. I'd never thought of that before. By the way, I believe Mark is going to join us on the show tomorrow, so we can talk about that. Michael Phillips with us now here on the Team 980 for Not My Beat. All right, let's talk about the defense. What do you think was the biggest difference yesterday in them, playing well, a thing they had not done so far this year?
Yeah, I thought it was the D-line. I thought they had an exceptional outing. I would probably give Dorrance Armstrong my game ball on defense. And, I'll say this, a lot of love coming to Luvu this and Chin and those guys as well. And I think with Chin in particular, it was good resilience, right? Like, he didn't acquit himself well on the first drive. He won't grade out well on that one. And then he bounced back, and to be able to, you know, play well from there, and was stuck his nose into a lot of plays, a lot of spaces, gave some big hits. I thought that was very encouraging. But to me, it all started up front, Craig. You know, Allen and Payne were what you needed of them, clogging up the middle, taking double teams, and Armstrong was winning his one-on-ones so routinely. And I don't want to take any of the shine off of this defensive line. Great effort. When they got to Kyler Murray, they got to Kyler Murray. He made some really head-scratcher decisions and throws as the game went on that, one, are not befitting a QB1 making the amount of money he's making. That's a problem for Arizona talk radio to deal with, not us. But also speaks to the impact the D-line had on the game early and often.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of covering stuff up on the back end, because there's times where it's like, okay, they got to him. Let me go rewind and watch the back end. And you're like, oh, there was nowhere to go. And there's a couple times that he just missed or he's flustered. I will also make – Michael, you ready for a bold prediction?
Hang on a second. All right, I'm seated.
All right, I know you had to buckle in and the whole deal there. I think John Allen gets a captaincy this week.
Like permanently for the year, like for the
game? No. Just like the weekly captains, they're doing this thing week by week.
Yeah.
I think the way that he played, like, because he's been him here, they are probably looking for reasons to give him one and give him an attaboy and say, like, hey, welcome to the party. You know, we appreciate your willingness to stick with this experiment. And now he's playing, you know, but the first couple of weeks, like, he wasn't playing to that level. There's no way you could have given it to him because he didn't, frankly, earn it. But the way he played, the heart hustle that he showed, not to mention the productivity, I think that they are probably looking to get that out of John Allen week after week, and rewarding that effort and that intensity and that production is good. My bold prediction this week is that when Dan Quinn steps to the podium on Fridays and announces the captains for the week, that John Allen is the defensive one.
Yeah, you're not going to book any action here. That sounds like a quite reasonable prediction to me. I think his segment with the Junkies will probably go a lot smoother this week too, so that'll be that'd be good for everybody, good for business.
Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. here on the Team 980. Hey, hey.
Yes, sir.
And 910 The Fan, yeah? Yeah,
pick
your stream on the Odyssey app. So, you know, there we go.
Exactly. You know, 2 weeks ago after the Giants game, I said, hey, if this trends this way, there's probably going to be a lot of chatter about trading them at the trade deadline, and I'm not sure it'll be unwarranted, but, you know, it's the opposite now. I think you have to ask, could this be a playoff team? And if it is, you're keeping him because he's a maximum effort guy who would be a part of that. So things change quickly in the NFL.
Yes, they do. And, of course, Commanders fans don't want anything to change right now. Cleveland is a totally different challenge this weekend. Defensively, they're by far and away the best team that Washington will have faced so far. The good news is offensively, they are a nightmare right now. Like, not a nightmare for defenses. They are a nightmare for themselves. So they stink. But I don't say how worried, like, what do you think this offense is capable of facing that caliber of defense? Because they have, if you want to poke holes in the argument, statistically speaking, they have faced three of, I think, the five worst defenses in the NFL through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and I think we all thought Cincy would be better than that, too. So they got some answering to do there for how they've played so far. I'm excited for this one. I'll tell you what I'm really excited for, Craig. I think this might be the first true home field advantage game at FedEx Commander's Northwest Credit Stadium in maybe a decade, maybe more. It's been so many 50-50 crowds for so long. I think we've forgotten what that means and what that is. I think there's enough juice in this town, and it's a weak enough opponent, right? Like, you talk about, like, if the Steelers are there, there will be Steelers fans there. That's how the NFL works. I just think Cleveland's been here recently. Their fans have had a chance to go. They're not particularly exciting this year. I think this could be a real, actual home field advantage. And I think it could remind people of something that I've needed reminding of occasionally over the last decade, Craig. It's fun to go to football games, and it hasn't always been in Landover. And I think that would do as much for the operation as anything that happens on the field. If they can get a couple touchdowns and get some fun in front of a crowd that's actually cheering for the home team.
That's a great point. I thought about that earlier today as well, because you know the schedule the next 4 weeks, right? They don't leave the state of Maryland for a home game. They have Cleveland, they're at Baltimore, and then they got two home games. By the way, one of those is against Carolina. You want to talk about a beaten down fan base that ain't going to travel, even though it's not that far of a trip. Why the hell would you go anywhere to see the Carolina Panthers? I don't. My parents are, you know, living down there in South Carolina. They don't want to go to their couch from the other parts of their house to watch the Panthers right now. That team, yikes.
That's a tough watch right now. The Jaguars are too, by the way. If you want to see bad offensive football in the year 2024, they don't know what they're doing. It's wild. But no, you're absolutely right. This is a tough one. Cleveland's defense is good, and you're always on alert for, you know, them figuring it out offensively. There's a lot of talented pieces there. It hasn't worked out for them at all. It's been a disaster, as you note. But in the NFL, you're always 1 week away from turning it around. I think this is arguably the second hardest game they've played this year. I'm going to put still Cincy at number one on that list. I think they really rose to the occasion. It was an impressive, impressive win. But I think this could be the second toughest team they play this year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's Michael Phillips. He will be back on the air 10 a.m. tomorrow down in Richmond for MP on the Mic, which you can listen to via 910 The Fan on the free Odyssey app. Michael, thank you, sir, and we will talk to you next week / I will see you at Northwest Stadium on Sunday.
As we say, see you Sunday.
See ya Sunday. That's Michael Phillips, everybody, with us on the Hoffman Show, as he is each and every week. Speaking of things we do each and every week, we pick every game on Friday. We give you our predictions. On Monday, we give you how we did with said picks and the analysis. Hopefully the analysis will be better than the picks, because, man, did we suck at picking games this week. We'll go through them all as we go around the NFL next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6, it's our Pick 6 at 6, where we will review the six players that we thought would play the biggest deal on Sunday in the Commanders-Cardinals game and see how they did. But now is the part of the show where we see what we did. We picked each and every game when we went around the NFL on Friday. And Anthony, I don't think our picks went that great, but let's start that music, get some analysis in here, and see just how poorly we actually did. I said that about as excited as I meant it. I really am terrified of how bad we pick games. And that's with a 1-0 start, because we both picked the Cowboys over the Giants on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, we did, but I still lost that one because they were a part of my
Competition Wednesday. Yikes.
So in a sense, I did lose.
I actually don't remember what games I picked. I just remember not feeling comfortable about any of them and holding my nose and picking three games. And I honestly, at this point, either I'm going to remember to look this up in the break, or I'm going to forget and I'll look it up on Wednesday.
Nice.
So we'll figure that out at 5:30 on Wednesday. The three games that we pick against the spread where there's actual punishment on the line. The Saints and Falcons. By the way, first, Anthony, record-wise, where are we at going into the weekend?
Going into the weekend, we were I was still below 500, sadly. You were 27 and 20, and I was 23 and 24.
Okay, let's see if we can get above the old Mason-Dixon line, if you will. Saints and Falcons. This one was a wild game. Probably the most competitive game through and through of the day. You had a bunch of games that were blowouts early that wound up being competitive. This one was genuinely competitive all the way through as the Falcons get a kick at the end to win it from Younghoe Koo. 58-yarder, longest in the history of the stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium down there. Obviously his career long as well. And despite just consistent performance from the Saints, they score 7-7-3-7 in all the quarters. Falcons a little bit more up and down. Don't score a touchdown in the second half. Yet, they're able to get the field goals that they need. Big play from Cousins late in this one. The PI down the sideline to Darnell Mooney. And it's enough to get it done. Falcons 26, Saints 24.
Man, talk about being able to rely on that defense, special teams. The Falcons' defense special teams came through for them. Because the offense, left a lot to be desired out
there. Too bad you didn't have them in your fantasy lineup.
I didn't have the Falcons in my fantasy lineup.
No, they were on your bench.
Yeah. I did have...
As you lost to me in fantasy.
Yeah, sadly. I could have won that game, too. There's a lot of people on my bench that I could have used.
Could have, should have, would have.
And it's okay.
That was me last week.
It's okay, Craig.
That's why we should play best ball.
It's just one. It's just one loss. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What was I about to say?
I know something about the defense and special teams in actual football.
Yes, Kyle Pitts got me a zero in my other fantasy leagues. The offense just didn't do too much. You know, Bijan didn't do much. Kirk didn't do too much. So the fact that they had a pick six, a fumble, like the defense special teams definitely came through for the Falcons. And then Younghoe Koo. I'm not even going to say it. Koo. Keep the 58-yarder for the win. So.
It is Younghoe Koo, isn't it?
Yeah, Younghoe Koo.
I don't know why I said what I said earlier. I think it's because it's spelled that way. And I doubted myself the same way you doubted yourself, except for you were right and I was wrong. it is kind of a weird stat sheet. I mean, Tyler Algier averaged 7.5 a carry.
Yeah, he was toting the ball.
Bijan, he only had 8 carries. And it's like, okay, well, did Bijan have 20? No, Bijan had 7. They threw the ball 35 times. And just didn't really get anywhere with it. Mm-mm. So, but ultimately they do what they need to do. Olave, by the way, another big day. 8 catches for 87 yards. They get the muffed punt from Rashid Shaheed. Huge, huge special teams mistake.
Why was he fielding that inside the 5?
I don't know. It used to be automatic. You just don't. But he did. And maybe you see why it's automatic. All right, Rams and Bears. Oh, man, what a weird, ugly game this was. Bears get it done 24-18. Sealed on a controversial play at the end. Mm-hmm. Stafford gets hit, throws a pick. Looked to be helmet-to-helmet contact. Definitely some contact above the shoulders. I didn't think it was an egregious no call. Like, by the book, it's definitely not roughing, but I didn't think it was like, oh, my God, how did they miss that? He got his head blasted off. But ultimately, the Bears get the pick. It's a bad throw by Stafford, and that's your ball game. It's not like the Bears played extraordinary football here, but they did enough to get it done, and somehow they sit at 2-2. And, you know, for the Rams, thank God they beat San Francisco last week in that weird game, because otherwise they would be 0-4. They are 1-3, but it's worth pointing out they have lost all three of those games on the road, so kind of an unbalanced schedule through the first quarter for L.A. We'll have to see if they can turn it around and get some guys back. But right now, that is a team trying to find itself. Meanwhile, on the Chicago end of it, another, like, you know, they kind of reined Caleb Williams in a little bit, only 23 passing attempts, keeping it relatively short, 17 for 23, 157, a touchdown. DeAndre Swift, redemption game, had a big 36-yarder, 16 carries, 93 yards, and a touchdown for Swift in the win.
Yeah, Swift looked good, and I'm just proud of the Bears. Like, you shouldn't have your rookie quarterback throwing the ball 50 times. So they resorted to, you know, using the ground attack. Swift looked good. Also, they were able to get him the ball in space. He had 7 catches. And that's, you know, what you got to do with your rookie quarterback. Get the ball out of his hand until he can, you know, slowly but surely see more of the field. So I had the Bears in this one. You had the Rams. So I'm up 3-0. Doing good so far.
Dang.
so far.
Nice job. I'm 2-1. Vikings and Packers. Oh, look, Anthony's going to be 4-0. I had faith in LaFleur, and boy, that looked like a smart thing as they came back, but ultimately the hole was too big to dig out of. 28-7 at halftime. The Vikings put on an absolute offensive show. Meanwhile, Jordan Love really struggled to start this game. Also, some tremendous plays by the Vikings defense. That first pick from Love is like, that's just a good defensive play. Well, Aaron Jones, really nice game against his former team. And the Vikings go on the road to Lambeau and get the win 31-29 despite 22 fourth quarter points from the Packers.
Yeah, I was talking to Zaire about it. It is so hard to keep a lead in the NFL. And boy, did the Packers come storming. But I was scared. I was like, they're not going to do this. They're not.
This is one of those games that I was like, okay, I don't need red zone to cover this. I don't need to a lot of because I had a multi-screen going at one point, and I was like, this game doesn't need to be on here.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, do I need to keep multiple screens going as the Commanders game gets started? Do I want to keep an eye on this?
Yeah.
Do I need to throw this on the iPad on the second device here? Yeah, it got hairy, and like they just ran out of time. Because it's not like they literally just ran out of time, but. You know, that's why you play 60 minutes and the first 30 count as much as the second 30. And Minnesota kind of won this one in the first 30. So credit to them. And they get a field goal in the fourth quarter. And that really, it's what they needed. That little bit extra. Steelers and Colts. Whoopsie daisies on this one from us. Congrats to Zaire and company. And congrats to teams that sign Joe Flacco and then need him. Apparently, that's what happens, and Joe Flacco delivers. The Colts get out to a nice start in this one, but then lose Anthony Richardson. Weird play, clearly holding his hip, leaves, comes back, takes a zone read, tries to get out and run, and then goes right back down, and then he is ruled out for the game. We'll see how long he is out with this hip injury. Anthony, we were texting during this one. I said, you know, Anthony Richardson is built like a tank, except for he doesn't like his it's like a toy tank that you can just take apart. Like it is crazy how undurable he has been for as big and as strong and as powerful as he is. But again, the Colts have a good backup in Joe Flacco. He comes in, gets the job done, and the Colts damn near score more on the Steelers than the Steelers had given up all year to that point. They had given up 10 points in a game through three games. Colts dropped 27. And despite a late surge by Pittsburgh offensively, they hold on for the 27-24 win. Z, a couple of huge plays in this game.
Yeah, Anthony, he has to understand this is a business, dog, and you got to protect your asset, your body. And too many times, you know, he's trying to take on these big hitters. Like, granted, they may look little, but Minkah Fitzpatrick, hey, he packs a punch when he hits somebody. So super unfortunate, but again, Joe Flacco comes in, the savvy veteran, has the offense rolling. JT also, you know, was able to get some things going on the ground. But like I said, it's hard to keep a lead. The Steelers, they made a run. And to be honest, if they don't fumble, like if the center doesn't smack Justin Fields in the face, I think the Steelers go down and at least get three. But, you know,
that's
happened.
You got to execute.
Gotta execute.
Yeah, gotta be locked in on the details. Steelers uncharacteristically not on their final drive. Broncos and Jets. Man, if you had to watch this game, I hope you asked your boss for like some hazard pay. I gotta ask CK, our boss. Hey, if I do my proper tape study this week and watch the Browns offense, do I get hazard pay? Can I get time and a half for that? I don't know how time and a half works when you got a salary, but whatever extra bonus I deserve for watching the Browns play offense this week, I want it. But I hope that they don't play the Commanders don't play the Broncos or the Jets soon. So luckily I'll never have to watch this game again. This game stunk. Nobody could do anything. Part of it is because these offenses, I think, are tremendously inconsistent in perfect conditions. But it was windy and it was rainy and the conditions were crap at MetLife Stadium. Aaron Rodgers just couldn't get going. 24 of 42 for Rodgers on the day. Bo Nix barely completes anything. He had -7 passing yards at halftime.
That's crazy.
7 completions for -7. Yeah. It wasn't like one bad play and he couldn't complete. No, 7 completions for -7 at halftime, and then ultimately throws his first career touchdown pass in the third quarter, and that is enough to get the win. 10-9, Broncos. Do we have to talk about this game anymore? We both picked the Jets, so it's bad. There's no redeeming qualities. It's not like even we picked the right team.
I will ask you one question. Aaron Rodgers spoke after the game and sit. So they had a whole bunch of pre-snap penalties, and he said Saleh needs to hold those guys accountable. Do you agree, or do you put it more on Aaron Rodgers?
I mean,
his cadence.
Well, did he specifically say like Saleh needs to hold those guys accountable? Or like, did he say the coaches? Or
he just says they need to be held accountable, because I think Saleh said
it's different saying they need to be held accountable versus the coach does. Like, it ain't my problem,
well,
which would be the most.
Well, Saleh said they might need to blow up the second cadence, like alter it. And Aaron Rodgers is like, no, we just need to hold those guys accountable, because that was the first time all season long that they've had pre-snap penalties that bad in a game.
Well, they're also, like, without Morgan Moses, they have Fashanu, the rookie, starting at tackle. So, like, I obviously did not watch as much of this game as I could possibly avoid, because it was a dumpster fire. Whenever it showed up on Red Zone, I was like, yes.
It was nasty.
You know, peeking through your eyeballs, because, you know, ugh. But I'm guessing that some of those penalties were on some of those younger guys, and, like, yeah, at that point, you might have to simplify it down, Aaron. Like, the world doesn't bend to you as much as you want it. It's the most Aaron Rodgers thing ever to think that everybody's just going to do what he thinks. It's a coach's job to put everybody in position to succeed. And, like, you're going to need to overcome them.
His cadence, though, is a weapon, though, Greg.
It is. It is. But people shoot themselves in the foot all the time.
Yep.
And that's where I'm going to leave that. Eagles and Bucks. Anthony, the Eagles might stink.
They're doo-doo.
Right. Their current version is not good. The Devontae Smithless, A.J. Brownless Eagles are not good.
Everybody's hurt, though, man.
And that's the thing. Like, Jalen Hurts deserved to get paid based off what he did a couple years ago. The Eagles did not have a choice. It was also a franchise-altering decision, and I don't think it altered them in a good way. Mm. Like, realistically, Jalen Hurts is not one of those guys. He is probably a top half. He's definitely a top half quarterback. I'm not telling you Jalen Hurts is bad at football, but Jalen is more limited than I think people realized at the time, and you're betting on him continuing to get better. And part of what you're betting on is a work ethic that's really good. Like, Jalen is a worker. I have nothing bad to say about Jalen Hurts in terms of the football character or anything like that. But as a football player, as a quarterback, there's limitations there. And the Eagles have done a pretty terrible job of figuring out how to overcome them. And also, like, to their credit, they have gotten him the pieces he needs to maximize him and what is a very special skill set of what he can do, not just about what he can't. But those guys go down, and, like, that's not a good team. And defensively, they're not nearly as good as they were, you know, 3-4 years ago. And that is a huge problem. Like, the defense is actually, I think, the bigger long-term problem, because they have Devontae, they have AJ eventually coming back. But, dude, if that defense is what it looks to be, all those pieces that everybody, you know, saying Howie Roseman's praises for drafting, they actually haven't been nearly as good. Jalen Carter's been pretty good. But outside of that, like, oh, they can't believe they got that guy. And it's like, okay, you liked all those players, how he took them, so you thought his draft was awesome. Turns out, sometimes it doesn't play out that way.
Yeah,
and oh, by the way, the Bucks are frustratingly inconsistent and at times great.
I mean, they gave the Eagles all types of problems. I think Jalen Hurts is best, you know, when the run game is going, and since the run game couldn't get going, the receivers on the outside couldn't get going, and he couldn't get going.
Well, the thing is, like, Saquon had 10 carries for 84 yards. I mean, I guess there was one 59-yarder. So, yeah, the other nine, that doesn't ever really – they weren't really that effective in the run game. So. Yeah,
and they were blitzing them like crazy. Like, that's why Saquon, he was bottled up to an extent. So, I don't know, it's tough. But it's also a Todd Bowles defense and all the problems that, you know, he presents when it comes, you know, just sending blitzes from everywhere and you don't know where it's coming from. And then you got receivers that can't win on the outside. That's tough.
Yeah. It's real tough. As Washington found out in week one, they needed more.
Yeah.
And by the way, they also saw what happens in week one when you get a hot Baker Mayfield, and Baker was dealing.
Yep.
And you saw what happens there. All right, Bengals, they were in a fight with Carolina there for a hot second. Panthers playing significantly better, obviously, since benching Bryce Young and getting Andy Dalton in there. But the Bengals offense is real good. Burrow, 22 of 31 for 232. And also, you just see, like, the value of having greatness. that one catch and run by Ja'Marr Chase where he just shakes off a couple of dudes and finds the end zone. Like, there's no scheming that. You get the ball to Chase, and then you say, Ja'Marr, go be awesome. And he is. And, like, yeah, there's scheming the first part, but you can scheme that for anybody, and they can get tackled. Or Ja'Marr Chase can stiff arm a dude through the earth and then run away from everybody else. And that is what he did. And so Cincinnati's still got stuff to figure out defensively, but offensively, they are rolling right now. The Texans and the Chiefs are the most interesting teams in some ways in football because they are 3-1 Texans, 4-0 Chiefs, respectively. And I don't think anybody believes that they're anywhere close to what they should be from a performance standpoint. Jags showed signs of life, but ultimately not enough. 24-20, the final, as Stroud throws for 345 and two touchdowns. Nico Collins, 12 for 151 and a score in a four-point win.
Yeah, the Texans, I don't know what it, I mean, I guess it was a divisional game. Those divisional games are a little bit different. Everybody gets up for them. We just seen Dallas and the Giants play a close one, but maybe that's also an indictment on what the Cowboys really are. So the Texans, they got a little bit more to prove. They just have so much talent, and they just haven't seemed to, like, put it all together. Maybe the loss of Joe Mixon has hurt them dramatically.
Their inability to run, definitely.
Because they ain't got Damian Pierce either, though, so
right.
That's probably
what
it is.
I mean, that definitely hurts, but, you know, a former Washington practice squad slash training camp slash he might have even played a couple of games. Dare Ogunbowale, sister is of course Arike, WNBA superstar. But Dare Ogunbowale doing the best he can, and he gets out there, and it's always fun when those dudes pop up. You're like, oh, that guy did make it. Yeah. That I saw play in training camp in 2017 or whatever it is. 49ers, they went to work. Welcome back, George Kittle. Brock Purdy, just another nice, tidy 288 and a touchdown day. Mason continues to put up numbers, 24 for 123, and they shellack the Patriots, 30-13. Anthony, I happen to know that the line was 10 in this one because this was our tiebreaker game. I do not know because I have not looked at my other Competition Wednesday picks whether we need the said tiebreaker. But if we do, congrats on winning Competition Wednesday.
Yes. Thank you, sir. I just have one note. The Purdy to Kittle catch, insane. Over three people. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, George is a monster.
It's nice to have him back.
Very much so. Debo back in this one as well. And they finally have a diagnosis for McCaffrey. We'll see how long it actually takes. It's a double, I think it's like a double tendonitis. So he's got like tendonitis in both calves.
That hurts.
Ankle, calf situation. So, yeah, it's not great. But we'll see. We'll see what they can do to get it fixed and see if they can get back to full strength. But the fact that, yeah, look, I know it's the Patriots, but the Patriots defensively have shown some teeth this year. And San Francisco put up a billion D on them. Raiders and Browns. Did I pick Cleveland?
Yes, you did, Craig.
Son of a... I'm never picking them again. I don't care if they play the Panthers or the Patriots. I'm literally never picking the Browns again. I hate them so much, almost as much as their own fans hate them. The Raiders, 20. Cleveland, 16. Raiders, 2-2 on the year. Deshaun Watson's terrible. 24 of 32, which is fine, for 176 yards. He cannot complete the ball down the field. They don't have the running game to support it. They did open up the practice window on Nick Chubb today, so he could be coming off of PUP as soon as this week. So that is definitely a game changer for them offensively. But defensively, like, there's only so much you can ask them to do. And, you know, even the Raiders were able to put up 20 points on them as Myles Garrett and company try to figure it out.
You ain't got too much to say. The Browns suck.
The Browns suck. A tale as old as time. Chiefs now 4-0 on the year as they're able to survive the Chargers 17-10. I told you this game, they figure out how to play it tough, and they sure did. Clearly, Justin Herbert is still banged up. But this Chargers defense, eventually I'll get the right unit. The Chiefs defense, that's the one that's nasty. Yeah. They are Chris Jones up front, what they do on the back end. Spags is just exceptional. Like, he's one of those guys that now we see how good he's been for so long, and you're like, why didn't he get another head coaching look? Because he wasn't terrible, if I'm remembering back in the day in St. Louis. But ultimately, he's returned to being a D.C. He's been with Andy for a long time. They know what they're doing. They got that unit playing together, and they are nasty. And then if Mahomes doesn't have to pass that hard of a test, He's Pat Mahomes. He's going to figure it out. 17 points is a good job defensively by the Chargers, and yet still not enough for them to get the win.
Yeah, that one was they eased out the game. I'm not going to lie. Losing Rashee Rice is really going to be tough for them because they're already down Hollywood Brown. Now they're down Rashee, and they're also without Isaiah Pacheco. Gonna have some guys that's gonna have to, you know, step up.
They gotta find speed on the outside. Cause Travis, like, for all the consternation about Kelce, he has 7 for 89 last night. Like, Kelce's gonna be fine, but your offense is only so explosive if a possession tight end is your number one guy, and you have to find explosive plays. And they've been able to get him with guys like Pacheco in the run game, Jet McKinnon in the run game, or the screen game. Rice was emerging. Hollywood Brown was supposed to open up this team, and so they were planning on becoming more vertical, really for the first time in a major way since Tyreek left. And now, are they going to be this dink and dunk offense? And Pat can play that way, but it is not nearly as exciting or nearly as potent. But they also, like, they're the most mature team in football on the field. They find ways to win in ways that nobody else has been able to replicate, which is why they're the two-time defending champions. So I just kind of have like that's an enormous loss because he was really coming on, was Rice, but I don't know. I kind of think they'll figure it out because they're the Chiefs. And last but not least, the Ravens, have they come back after the 0-2 start. And the Bills were the best team in football going into last night. And then the Ravens just absolutely blew their doors off. Josh Allen, only 180 yards. Lamar, 156, but only 5 incompletions, 2 touchdowns. Derrick Henry got things going with an 87-yard scamper. And even if you take that out, he averaged monster numbers. He had like 23 carries for 112 yards without the 87-yarder, 24 for 199. They couldn't get him one more yard. 24 for 199 on the day. Damn. This was out the gate early, and there was no coming back for Baltimore.
Yeah. First play, 87 yards, the set the tone right there. Just some tough sledding, but also I think Josh Allen, he needed a little help from his receivers. He was throwing the ball into some tight windows. Keon Coleman has a couple of tough catches, but they needed a little bit more defensively and offensively. But also, I said, if the Ravens just run the ball, give this dude, Derrick Henry, the ball. You brought him in for a reason. He's had 20 carries the last 2 games, and guess what? They've won.
They have. I'm not sure, 100% sure it's possible, but if it is based off like the primetime rules and whatever, there is a great chance that Commanders and Ravens gets flexed in 2 weeks to Sunday Night Football. Like, what more box office is there right now than the two-time MVP Lamar coming off of what he just did? And then Jaden Daniels is as box office as it gets right now in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Rookie playing like this. So, and by the way, the current Sunday nighter is Bengals and Giants. Which one do you think NBC wants?
Definitely Commanders Ravens.
Yeah, so the only thing is, I don't know if there's a max on the number of primetime games teams can have, and the Ravens already have like 5. So if that game can be flexed, it will be flexed. It might even, I wonder if it can be flexed to 425 at the very least for one of the networks to have it as a national game. But yeah, that could be a late night trip to Baltimore, or a game that I, instead of going to, watch from my couch. It's the Hoffman Show. That's our trip around the NFL. Titans, Dolphins, Seahawks, Lions tonight. Anthony, how do we do on the picks so far with the 2 games still remaining?
I actually did pretty good, Craig. I went 10-4.
Oh,
and
damn.
You went 6-8. So guess what? It's tied up. Let's go.
For the season?
Yeah, because I took the Commanders. You took the Cardinals.
Right. We're going to get back to that game here in a moment.
Oh.
And then tonight, where are we separate tonight? Titans, Dolphins. We both have the Titans?
You have the Lions.
Yeah.
No, you have the Titans and Lions.
And I
have the Titans and Seahawks.
Okay, so I could get back to 500, which would at least save my face for the week. But
yeah.
Hey, man, I'm happy for you.
Thank you, man. Let me pat myself on the back. It's a good week. It's
excellent.
About time. Long time right. Coming.
Competition Wednesday. We'll see how we did against the spread and against each other. And there was a wheel of mediocre punishment for either one of us that lost. We'll get to that Wednesday at 5:30. But next, our pick 6 at 6. We picked 6 players that we thought were going to be impactful on Commanders Cardinals. And we'll see just how impactful they were next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.